Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Adi Oladipo here. Thank you so much for downloading Fight Night Extra. Remember, we're here every single Tuesday live on TalkSport 2, myself and the great Gareth A. Davis. If you can't join us live, remember to subscribe to the Fight Night podcast channel. So much other great content there as well, such as Fight Night, Fight of My Life, and even the Mike Tyson story, The Boy from Brownsville.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Good afternoon. If you love your boxing and your MMA, then this is obviously the show for you. Fight Night Extra, where myself and the great Gareth A. Davis will be discussing all the latest from the world of combat sports. This week, we're going to be reflecting on Saturday night's boxer card in Newcastle, which saw wins for Savannah Marshall, Chris Eubank Jr. and Huey Fury. We'll be hearing from Savannah Marshall, who will now fight on the same card as Clarissa Shields in December as they build up to what we hope will be a big money showdown sometime in 2022. We'll also be hearing from Chris Eubank Jr., who has his sights set on bigger and better things after making light work of Wanik Ardijan. And with the dust now settled in the heavyweight division following two epic fights, we'll map out how the division will look in the next 6 months. Look, don't go anywhere. This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
So brave, the African challenger, but Savannah Marshall mounts the corner post away to our right-hand side. She has got heavy, heavy hands.
We didn't get to hear what Clarissa said to you because she was on the screen and they put a headset on you. What did she say?
She went, I'm giving up the gold title because it belongs to Savannah.
Ardijan, as we tick up towards halfway, as he marches back towards the corner. He has a little word with his trainer there, Spencer, a little word with the trainer as he begins to take the stool, a little bit of a shake of the head. I'm not sure he wants too much more.
No, I think he may pull out on this one, Andy.
A bit of an anti-climax. I felt like I was just kind of getting into the swing of things, working the guy out.
Fernando Villarreal and Carla Caiz both scored about 97 to 93 for your winner by majority decision. El Orgullo de Barcelona, Catalonia, España, Sandor Martí.
Yeah, that was a big upset in Fresno on the weekend. It's almost gone under the radar a bit because of what happened ringside between Devin Haney and Teofimo Lopez, but we'll touch on that in a few minutes. But congratulations to Sandor Martin. Huge, huge win over the four-weight world champion Mikey Garcia. We're going to kick things off, though. We're talking about Savannah Marshall and that card in Newcastle on the weekend. As I said at the top, big wins for Huey Fury. I say big win. Win for Huey Fury. Win for Chris Eubank Jr. Win for Savannah Marshall as well. Let's welcome in the great Gareth A. Davis. Gareth, tops on, yeah? I am talking to you fully clothed right now.
Don't. I'm fully clothed. I've had my dressing down. I've had my dressing down for it as well. I think I was just celebrating the weight loss and the fact I'd been shirtless in Las Vegas for a couple of days. But the shirt is firmly on again. It's far too cold for me to be going around with my shirt undone. Yeah. No more.
Indeed. You've been a busy man, Gareth, in the last couple of months. And I think this is the first show me and you've done, actually. I've been away. You've been away for the last 3 weeks, but you've obviously been covering some big cards in America. You covered the card on the weekend as well. I was going to touch on that card.
Touch me, baby. Touch me.
I was waiting for that. I was like, Gareth, we'll never miss the slip of the tongue there. This is Sky's second event now with Boxer and Wasserman. What do you make of the event so far?
Well, it was fantastic to be there on Saturday night, frankly. You know, I'd just been at one of the biggest fights that we've ever witnessed with Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder's trilogy fight, Addy. And the atmosphere up there was extraordinary. Newcastle is an amazing fight town. They always come out to support boxers there, MMA guys. You know, I've been up there in the past for the likes of Joe Calzaghe when he fought Robin Reed and Amir Khan against Dimitri Salita. Lewis Ritson's a big star up there, of course, with his local crowd. He wasn't on the card on Saturday night. But, you know, there were 11,000 people there at the Utilita Arena. And they really came out for Savannah Marshall. I mean, the atmosphere was tremendous. Chris Eubank was against a guy in Wanik, the Armenian based in Germany, who, you know, put up a decent fight for five rounds. And ditto with Huey Fury, who was more aggressive, which we wanted to see, yeah, against Christian Hammer. And then Savannah Marshall, you know, really kind of an amazing night against Lolita Muzeo of Zambia, who really brought it from the opening bell. It was like Hagler Hearns for nigh on 4 minutes. And Marshall looked really good, and she's going to have to get used to that because Clarissa Shields is pursuing her now. They're building that big fight, as we mentioned earlier in the package there, that they could well meet early next year or in the first third of next year, and they'll be on the same card on December the 11th. We don't know where that is yet. I expect it'll be up north again because Savannah's got so much support. I mean, I remember Savannah, you know, when I'll talk to you about the atmosphere was amazing. And the card was interesting, and they're building, aren't they? And I think what was self-evident was that Savannah Marshall is a star to be born.
Yes.
She's been around a long time. I knew her as a teenager when she was boxing in the Olympics, when she was world amateur champion. She was a very young woman at London 2012. She didn't come through there. Obviously, she lost to Marina Volnova in the London 2012 Olympics and went into the tournament, that inaugural amazing tournament for women at the Olympics, as the world number one. And Clarissa went on to win gold, as she did in Rio as well. So she's a very formidable woman, Clarissa, as is Savannah. But she's come out of herself more. I was interviewing her for Talk Sport, you know, on the big walkout stage. And like the crowd were there in rapture. And I walked to the top of the stage with her and I said, look at this. And she said, I know, I just want to go back and do my medicals and my drug tests and this, that, and the other, my P test. So, you know, I think she's got to realize that there is a following for her. And yeah, people want to see her. You know, this is a young girl, aged 11, who walked into a gym in Hartlepool, was the only girl in the gym. She's been on the whole kind of journey, if you like, Addy, with the growth of women's boxing from the very beginning, because it's from 2012 it's really grown. And we have a genuine super fight on our hands. They both need to win on December the 11th. And they're building, you know, and it ditto Chris Eubank, who potentially could be fighting around the same period against Liam Williams, which is another terrific matchup. So, it was a great night. It's always great to be live at an event for Talk Sport. Always great fun.
Yeah, I'm so happy you mentioned about Savannah coming out of her shell. She's now talking a lot more, isn't she? She seems a little more comfortable on camera as well. And you're right, she's going to have to get used to this because she is becoming a big star, a real big star. You think of someone like Katie Taylor, who's obviously been the flag bearer for female boxing in this country or maybe over the world. And you know, Katie's probably got maybe 1-2 years left. Savannah is just kind of starting her professional career, really. I know she's been boxing a while now, 10 fights, but she's really just kicked off to another level. So she's going to have to be used to, you know, mics being shoved down her face and asking for her opinion. And I love the build-up between her and Clarissa. I think it's going to be a good one. Eubank Jr., look, I was just happy to see him in the ring. It's been a tough few months for Eubank Jr. Obviously, his brother Sebastian passing away, and he could have easily said, okay, Eubank's going to sit out the rest of the year, but, you know, he wants to fight. He now looks like he will fight Liam Williams, which is, as you said, a crack and scrap. We love the domestic dust-ups, don't we? December 11th. That's going to be a good one between Liam Williams and Eubank Jr., just because, if I'm honest with you, Gareth, I don't know if Eubank Jr. is sort of world level yet, like, you know, that like world championship elite level, and I think Liam Williams is just below that as well. So for me, it's almost two guys that might just be at the same stages of their career.
Well, I mean, Liam Williams obviously fought for the world title. He fought Bubu Andrade in America, and he's been around a while. The two fights with Liam Smith, we know what he does. He brings it, you know, he brings it. He's a warrior, and it's a perfect style because he'll put pressure on Chris Eubank Jr. and make him fight because he's in transition in his style with Roy Jones Jr. And you see him putting his two hands up, making the shapes.
Yeah.
And he's still a little bit caught between two styles. He was patient against Manik Awajan on Saturday night, Wanikat Awajan. Just to go back to Clarissa Shields for a moment as well, I thought what they did very smartly on Saturday night was had Clarissa Shields on a Zoom call or on a video link. I like that kind of thing where we did get a bit of smack talk from the two girls afterwards. And that's the kind of building that we need to do. And she was on and she's a great character. She's got an MMA fight coming up in a week's time as well.
Is that risky?
No, not at all. I think it's good for her. I mean, I think keeps her active. It keeps her interested. She's already a three-weight world champion. She's an extraordinary character, the GWOT, as she calls herself, the greatest woman of all time. And it's a title that Savannah can pursue as well. And I liked that development. Like you say, Chris Eubank Jr., what level is he? We don't know. He's got all the qualities to be a box office star. They want to build him as one of the big names with Boxer now on the Sky platform. And I think it's a great move. I mean, you know, there are very few box office stars in the UK outside the heavyweights.
Yeah.
And it's a real time for people to move into that groove, if you like. I mean, they're still trying to find the box office stars in America after Floyd Mayweather. They haven't really found one yet.
You're right.
So we're all at that stage. We're all looking for those people that will go on that journey who will draw the mainstream interest, if you like. And Chris has got it all, in my view. So has Savannah. Yeah. But it's like you say, it's that development of being out there and having the right matchups now and going into 2022, where hopefully crowds will be allowed all the time now, where that they build from arena to stadium.
Yeah, agreed. And I think 11,000 is a great turnout as well for that card, especially considering that there was a lot of talk about Lewis Ritson being on the card and then obviously he was pulled off the card. So I think that's fantastic numbers. Big upset in America. Mikey Garcia being defeated by Sandor Martin. I know Mikey's been out of the ring for a long time, but the hope was, I'm guessing, for Mikey to win that one and then potentially fight Regis Progre and then the winner potentially fight Josh Taylor. And here comes Sandor Martin, who, look, let's not be disrespectful, you know, he's got a decent resume, but no one foresaw this. I mean, Mikey's a legit, legit great fighter. And he just looked flat, like really flat.
Yeah, he'd been out for a long time, hadn't he? 20 months. You know, and, you know, he was looking for a bout with Regis Progre. This was a warm-up for that. And, you know, Sandor Martin, the Spaniard, had never fought outside Europe, hadn't really fought at world level before. You know, it was a stay-busy opponent. So it's one of the big upsets in recent memory, given, like you say, that Garcia is a formidable fighter, four-weight world champion, former four-division world champion, and, you know, a 10-1 underdog. It was a shock, you know, 95 on one of the cards and 97, 93 on two of the other cards. I think it was about right. You look at the punch stats. There weren't a lot of punches landed. Garcia landed 60 and Martin 75. That doesn't always tell the story of the fight. But, you know, Martin was clever. He boxed off the back foot and was able to time Garcia, who was very aggressive. And it was a straight left all night that did the work for him. You know, and basically it wasn't, he got off to a fast start. He was very clever in the fight, but, you know, Garcia was rusty. So that's why the upset came about. And this is what's happened. We've discussed this on the show in the past, that during lockdown, during the COVID pandemic, a lot of formidable champions have lost because they've looked rusty. Vasyl Lomachenko against Teofimo Lopez. Lopez was brilliant that night. And Vasyl didn't wake up till the seventh round, really. You know, Carl Frampton didn't look great against Jamel Herring. He hadn't been out that much. He'd been in some weird fights with behind closed doors, didn't have a crowd. So,
you know, it's a difficult one.
Yeah, Warrington, Lara, exactly. All these fights. So, you know, look, Martin was incredibly respectful afterwards. As he said, he was a legend in the ring. He got up for it. It was his world title fight. The greatest moment of his career, he said. He said he was going to do it, and he did it, you know. But the other thing is, you know, Garcia's maybe not a natural welterweight, you know. He's come up the weight divisions from lightweight. And, you know, Martin's is a strong welterweight, you know, at the peak of his physical powers. So, you know, It's these things happen. It's sport. There are upsets.
Yeah. For Mikey, I mean, look, he's going to continue. I think they've come out and Robert Garcia said he's going to continue as well. Do you have to have the rematch with Sandor Martin to almost right the wrong, or can you still sell now a pro-grade fight at 140 potentially?
No, I don't think so. I think he does need to. The rematch is a good idea. Mm. I think he should have it before the end of the year, and then, you know, he's pursuing. Of course, he's pursuing Errol Spence.
Yeah.
You know, he's pursuing a lot of different fighters. I mean, you know, you look at where. You know, you look at where Regis is. He's number 3 with the WBC, 4 with the WBA. You know, Josh Taylor obviously being the champion of the whole division right now. Regis is 7, I think, with the WBO. So, you know, it's a fight that he can jump between the weights, Mikey, but he's got to be careful. I think super lightweight is his ideal weight, 140 pounds. That's where he's got to base himself. No way should be at welterweight now, not as he gets older. Mm-hmm. Because, like, you know, Mikey Garcia as well might have been a challenger if he beat Regis Prograis for Josh Taylor at super lightweight. If Taylor comes through Jack Catterall, the fellow Brit, the Lancastrian, on December the 18th, which is an event and fight I'm very much looking forward to, very far up north in Glasgow as well, you know.
Yeah, it should be a good little... Almost a good section of fights coming up in December. All right, you're listening to Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2. Remember, it's in partnership with DAZN. Your boxing, your way, DAZN, game changed. Still to come, we'll be mapping out the next 6 months in the heavyweight division, and we'll hear from Chris Eubank Jr., who won on the weekend. But after the break, we'll be hearing from Savannah Marshall after her December fight on the same bill as Clarissa Shields was announced.
Muzea know about it. That was exactly what we wanted to see.
What a performance there from Savannah Marshall.
Mate, I've got tingles all over my body.
Same as that, bro, same as that.
When you see something special like that unfold in front of your eyes, you obviously see the way the fans obviously reacted to Savannah Marshall. It does start to get you extremely excited about the possibilities. We know the superstar of Clarissa Shields. My word, that is going to be some fight.
Oh, I'm lost for words, honestly, Gareth. I can't believe it. Honestly, I can't believe people actually stay and watch.
You're listening to Fight Night Extra here on TalkSport 2. Adi Oladipo and the great Gareth A. Davis with you. All right, let's take a look back at the fights over the weekend in partnership with DAZN.
Big Fight Review on TalkSport 2 with DAZN. Your boxing, your way. Download the DAZN app or visit DAZN.com.
You know what I like most about that whole clip is the last 30 seconds when she's speaking to Gareth there, and she says that she can't believe it. She's almost surprised that she's almost been elevated to this, and that the fans, the Newcastle fans, the Geordies, are there to see her. And I love that humility. And she should get used to it because she is a superstar now. She's a world champion. And what I think, you know, what I think they're really liking about her, Gareth, and maybe it's the one criticism some people have had about female boxing, which, by the way, I think is wrong. She gets the knockouts. They want to see stoppages, don't they? That's what they've been asking for. Let's see the stoppages. And, you know, we don't get enough time in the female rounds to get the stoppages. She's getting the knockout. She's entertaining. She's now good on the mic as well, which helps. She's a star.
She is. And I really do feel, you know, I wrote in my piece in the Telegraph on Monday, she stole the show. She was the main event. And I think that we felt a star was born. Stars in boxing are born when... Not when they've just got great ability, but just when the public decides they're really going to support them. And you really felt that powerfully on Saturday night. And I really wanted her to soak it up. I mean, got to remember, as I said in the first segment today, you know, this is a girl that walked into a gym, little girl. She was a very tall girl, 11 years old, the only girl in the gym drawn to boxing, you know, came through this historic period where came into the Olympic Games in 2012 as the number one in the world at middleweight. Didn't fulfill her ambitions. I remember how disappointed she was. And then Caressa Shields stole the show at middleweight. You know, again, this one with another extraordinary story. So the two narratives coming together, and they've crisscrossed each other for nearly 10 years. And, you know, Clarissa has only took one big loss as an amateur, and that was to Savannah Marshall. So you've got the whole storyline here. I mean, even when in 2016, where she lost controversially, this is Savannah in her second Olympics in Rio, she was signed, if people haven't forgotten this, she was signed by Floyd Mayweather. She went over to America. She made a debut on the undercard. I think it was the undercard of Andre Ward and Sergey Kovalev. I think it was there, or it might have been Amir Khan and Canelo. It might have been the first ever event at the T-Mobile Arena, but she was a big, she took a big leap there, where she was spotted by Floyd Mayweather. You know, from there she's fighting at the White's Hotel in Bolton. She's grown slowly. It's been a very regular process. She went through a dark period in 2016 where she didn't know if she wanted to stay in boxing. But I think the tee up, the joining with Peter Fury and Huey Fury and being around those guys has really brought it out in her. And she's gone from clever, from, you know, brawler, if you like, to clever boxer now as well, with that power. And she showed that, Addy, against Mizuya on Saturday night, where she was under shock, first of all, because Mizuya just brought everything. Slightly smaller woman who's campaigned mainly at welterweight, 16-0, 8 knockouts herself. And she really brought it. And it brought the best out in Savannah. And I think her and Clarissa are going to have one of those kind of fights. It might be Hagler-Hearns. There might be a trilogy. That's what I'm hoping between these two, because they're very similar level. And like, for women to find a dance partner at this stage, at this level, these two women are made for each other. I genuinely think this is one of the biggest super fights in women's boxing.
Yeah, no, 100%. I agree with you there. All right, let's hear from the WBO middleweight champion, Savannah Marshall, who joined you guys immediately after her win on the weekend.
I can't describe the feeling. It's like a euphoric feeling.
They obviously came for a performance this evening. With yourself teaming up with Peter and the Furies, I want you to describe the developments that you believe not only you've made as a professional, but also as a human being as well, because they seem to have had such an influence on you, of which you revelled in this evening.
100%. I can't... Do you know, Peter is his character, I can't describe what he's like. It's like nothing's an issue, you know, and everyone's beatable. He's got a game plan for everyone. He makes up, you know, profiles for everyone, things like that. He studies people's body language. He's a real character.
Savannah, in your dream scenario, in your mind's eye, they've announced a fight with Caressa Shields and yourself in December. In your mind's eye, do you want to come more local to home for that? Because look at this tonight. I mean, it was unbelievable with 11,000. You can fill out a football stadium. Where in your mind? No, because those are advantages that you can take over someone. She's prepared to come here. In your dream, where would you like to fight?
I don't think I want to fight anywhere else now apart from the Northeast. Even when they were booing her, I think, and that's it, go on. Boo her more.
Do you know what? What I'd like to say is, like, what a turnaround. You know, when we talk about when we come up many years ago, myself, Johnny and Adam, when we come up to the GB training place and we saw you and we saw that, you know, you had this thing where the pressure used to get to you in major championships. You'd win one championships, then you'd crash out in another one, et cetera, et cetera. And that was all down to the pressure of, you know, being the number one. This is a massive turnaround for you now, where you're actually saying, you know what, I want to fight in the Northeast. I want to deliver, and you're performing. Like, is that what Peter installed in you? That character building that he's done there, really, because it's like a massive change of character you are.
Yeah, like I said, nothing's an issue with Peter. Even when we're on the pads, she comes at you doing this. You know you can do this. We're in the gym, 5-6. Days a week, and like I said, hundreds of rounds sparring where he's got people pressuring me, you know, sticking it on me, and I'm having to, you know, move and defend, and there's been plenty of tears, so it's been a long work in progress.
You've got to go do your drugs test, I'm afraid.
Yeah, it was a wonderful performance. Just finally, we didn't get to hear what Clarissa said to you, because she was on the screen and they put a headset on you. What did she say?
She went, I'm giving up the gold title because it belongs to Savannah.
That's the new Savannah Marshall. I think it's absolutely fair to say. It's a great line. She wouldn't have said that a couple of years ago. No chance. Nope. No chance whatsoever. Good question you asked her about where this fight should take place, Gareth. I mean, has it been spoken about, or is it sort of in rock that the fight's in America, or is it down to pounds and pence? I mean, will they be looking now thinking, wait a minute, Savannah can get 12,000-15,000 in an arena in the UK. Clarissa maybe could do that. Does it come down to who's the biggest draw in which country?
Yeah, I think it does. But I think at the moment that, you know, the fans really come out in the UK for big events. We've just seen 68,000 for Anthony Joshua. We saw, what was it, 25,000 for Josh Warrington, or 20,000in the rematch with Mauricio Lara in Headingley Rugby League Stadium. America's very aware, the broadcasters there and the promoters are very aware of the kind of love of an event that British fight fans have, and people just like to go for an event. And I think she should be really, as I was kind of pointing out there, she should really, Savannah should be really campaigning hard to have it here. Now, you know, it's not big enough yet to have it in a Newcastle football ground, they're the huge ground, isn't it?
But 55,000.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a 55,000 fight at the moment. But a lot of people have been unhappy when it was announced, because a lot of people thought that they were going to fight each other on December the 11th, Savannah and Clarissa. But they're just going to be on the same card. And I do think it's a sensible thing to do, because you want to build it. You want to potentially them being difficult fights and win a difficult fight on the same card, then get them in the ring together, interview them together, have them around each other for a week in fight week, generate the interest around that, and then have it next year when it's a bit warmer. You could do it in a, you know, from April onwards, you could do it in a 25,000 football stadium, in a 30,000 football stadium up north, and it'll be brilliant, you know. I don't know the arenas that there are. You could do it at Manchester, for example, where there's 20,000. You could do it at the MEN anytime. And I think the fans, it's not a big travel from those far up in the northeast, is it? And, you know, Manchester is always a big fight town. So, you know, I think the build for this, it could be a really, really big one. And I do think it should be marketed as the biggest women's fight out there, apart from perhaps Amanda Serrano against Katie Taylor, or Holly Holm against Katie Taylor, those kind of fights. But this is a big fight between two women who are clearly elite and need each other and the championship of each other, just not the belts, to project women's boxing. I cannot wait for those two to meet, honestly. I can't even wait for the December the 11th event with both of them around each other for a week, because Clarissa doesn't back down, and when Savannah's pushed, she goes for it. But like she was saying there, this elision, this link-up with Peter Fury in the last year and a half has really brought... We know what the magic is around the Furies and boxing. You know, Tommy over fighting Jake Paul. I know we'll talk about that at some point. There's very interesting stuff on the contract, isn't there, which would be nice to talk about at some point today. And, you know, what Tyson's doing, you know, the whole gravy train around the Furies is big at the moment. John Fury, a big character. Peter is second to none as a trainer, in my view. And we must never forget, he was the trainer that led Tyson Fury to beat Vladimir Klitschko those 6 years ago in Dusseldorf.
Yeah, I almost feel like sometimes that is forgotten, but you're right about it being one of the biggest fights. I think it could be one of the biggest fights out there, regardless, male or female, Clarissa Shields, because she sells it. She really does. And Savannah obviously has that win over her, and that really irks her as well. So if it does happen sometime in 2022, it's going to be a big one, stadium or arena. All right, you're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2, and that was a look back at the big fights last weekend. Thanks to DAZN, your boxing your way. DAZN game change. Next, we're going to hear from Chris Eubank Jr., who's targeting a world title in 2022.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And now, introducing Chris Eubank Jr.
An emotional night for Chris Eubank Jr. in his first fight since the passing of his brother Seb.
There's Eubank now just opening up on the ropes, and for the first time, Abjian covering up. This better work now from Eubank.
There is a more weary look now about Vanek Avdiyan as we tick up towards halfway, as he marches back towards the corner.
I think he may pull out on this one, Andy. He was under severe pressure there. The referee has also taken a close look at him. I'm just looking at him now, looking up at him in the corner.
And he waves it off. He waves it off as we suspected.
My brother Sebastian passed a few months ago. This fight's dedicated to him. Listen, it feels great to be back in the ring in front of a crowd. A bit of an anti-climax. I felt like I was just kind of getting into the swing of things. It is what it is. On to the next one.
Yeah, on to the next one indeed. The next one should be, and probably will be, Liam Williams, December 11th. It's funny because I remember seeing Chris sit down with, I think it might have been Trish Dixon, a year ago, and Chris was asked about a Liam Williams fight, and he was like, who? And now, obviously, a lot's happened in a year, and now it makes sense. And it does make sense for Chris Eubank Jr. If he wins that one, then, you know, potentially there are really, really good fights for him out there, £160. Gareth, I want to ask you about the link-up with Roy Jones Jr. This is their second fight together now. They had the Marcus Morrison fight a few months back, now this one. I always think it takes maybe 3 or 4 camps to get in sync with the fighter and trainer. What have you made of the partnership so far? Have you seen any big differences, any big changes from Eubank Jr. in his style of boxing?
Yeah, we have, and Chris is less, takes his time more now, and is less kind of like tenacious in some of the ways that he fights. But we know that tenacity is there, Addy. Mm. I think, you know, Roy Jones Jr. is a genius at boxing. Let's be clear about that. Yeah. You know, his father was involved in the sport as well. He was one of the greatest we've ever seen. You know, people can make an argument for putting him in the top 20, the greatest boxers ever. This is a guy that went from middleweight to heavyweight with world titles, remember? I'm like an extraordinary character. I'm lucky enough to spend time around Roy, and I know him and I've met him many times. He's a very sage man. He's a very kind of calm and collected individual. And, you know, serendipity is an amazing thing, because Chris Eubank Jr. happened to be in Vegas and bumped into Roy Jones Jr., who was at an event, just at the beginning of lockdown, and they got on really well, and Roy invited him to come to Pensacola, Florida, and he went there, and, you know, he spent 18 months with him, so he's learned about the sport, he's learned lots of things he needed to do and leave the shadow of his father, which he has done now, because he was he's such a strong personality, senior, that it's been good for Chris, and he's had these terrible things happen to him this year. Mm. Say he fought Marcus Morrison in May, and he looked a little bit caught between styles that night. Yeah. He was caught a bit too much by Morrison. I was there live that night on the undercard of Joseph Parker and Derek Chisora, who go at it again, of course, on December the 18th. And, you know, he's molding a style for himself. He's looking at his jab more. And he's very patient on Saturday night till he started hunting around the fourth and fifth rounds. And, you know, his opponent couldn't take it when he took the big body shot from him. So, you know, I thought it was a very kind of decisive move. And he put Vanek Avdiyan away. I mean, he didn't want to come out after the fifth round. He hurt him with a massive left to the body. And you could see he'd broken his ribs or hit him very solidly to the organs. And he didn't want to come out. And I think people are going to criticize Chris Eubank Jr. and always compare him with his father. And I think this is the journey now, a second phase of his career. where he is going to be matched against, he needs to be matched, by the way, against better opponents. You look at the world rankings, and the good thing is about Liam Williams, if it is the Liam Williams that he fights, you know, he's 7 with the WBO, 6 with the WBC and the WBA. He's still up there in the world rankings. He's a very strong fighter. I still favour Eubank in that fight, but he'll put pressure on him. So, yeah, I think it's a great matchup. It's of those two, Roy Jones Jr. and Chris Eubank Jr. They get on so well as well. I've seen them together. There's deep, deep respect there. And I think that's what Chris needed because, you know, there he is. He's 3 with the WBC. He's chasing Jamal Charlo. He's chasing the fight with Gennady Golovkin. That's the fight he really wants. I think he matches up well against Demetrius Andrade and Ryoto Murata, for whom he's the number one challenger with the WBA. So there's loads of stuff set up for him. I think 2022 is going to be a really big year for him.
Yeah, agreed. And it all, fingers crossed, starts with that fight against Liam Williams, which I think is a really fan-friendly fight. I think it's going to be fantastic against Savannah Marshall on the card, Clarissa Shields on the card. Looks like Boxer and Sky are really starting to get things warm. I really think it's going to be a great card. It really is. All right, let's hear from the man himself now, Chris Eubank Jr. Gareth, you spoke with him after the fight on Saturday.
Chris, talk to us about tonight, first of all, and how it feels.
Hey, listen, it feels great to be back in the ring in front of a crowd. A bit of an anti-climax. I felt like I was just kind of getting into the swing of things, working the guy out. He came out southpaw, which was very unexpected. I didn't know he was a southpaw. I don't think he is. I think he just came out southpaw to try and mess my head up. The body shots were working. He came over to me at the end of the fight and said he popped a rib, so he had to quit. You know, it is what it is. On to the next one.
It's disappointing for you and I think the crowd, because as Roy will know, Newcastle's a fight town, and you know, they adopt people. They will have adopted you tonight. You just wanted that kind of emphatic stand over your opponent moment tonight, didn't you?
Yeah, I was setting him up. You know, I was taking my time figuring him out and setting up those traps, and, you know, I was going to land a big shot. It was coming. But, you know, he got out of there just in the nick of time. You know, what can you do?
And the great man whose name is on your shorts tonight, can we have a word for him, please?
Absolutely, yes. My brother Sebastian passed a few months ago. This fight's dedicated to him. It's been rough, but, you know, I think boxing is what's kept my mind, you know, straight. Stopped me from going crazy. Because, you know, when it happened, that's what I felt like I was going crazy. Boxing gave me that focus to be able to come back and, you know, and put all my energy into something positive. So, yeah, we're here.
Myself, Adam, Spencer and Andy all watched you at the beginning of that walk tonight, and he was the man on your mind, wasn't he?
Absolutely. This was all for him.
We love you very much. We're on the journey with you. Can I just have one word with Roy? Marks out of 10, Mr. Roy Jones Jr., please.
What now?
Marks out of 10 for Chris tonight.
He got a 7 tonight. I really got an 8 because he did everything he was supposed to do. I thought he got an 8 for sure because the opponent didn't give us what we wanted.
I'll take an 8.
I got an 8 because it's an improvement. And what I really wanted, and it happened, just it happened late, was a one-punch knockout. That one shot to the body is really what did it. I saw it. I knew it. When he came over, I think he broke my rib. So your coach called a shot, and I think you did it, and I think you broke my rib. That's what I was looking for, one dramatic knockout shot. And I think we got that. He just didn't show it. He probably let him go down in. But I saw the shot, so I got what I wanted. So it's 8 because of the opponent. The opponent was right to be a 10.
I love Roy Jones Jr. I really do. One of my favorite fighters, honestly, one of the greatest fighters we've ever seen. And you're right, Gareth. You can tell that Chris has so much respect for him. He was going to be literally the only trainer that could work with Chris Eubank Jr. because we know Chris has got an ego. And I feel like Roy almost sucks that ego out of him a little bit.
Absolutely right, Eddie. The thing is, you know, Ronnie Davis, who's in his 70s, held Chris Eubank Jr. as a baby and trained his father. Mm-hmm. He's like a member of the family. And I think there wasn't the respect in terms of boundaries, if you like. Yes. He's got boundaries with Roy, and that those boundaries are really important, you know. And Chris Eubank Sr. really loves Roy Jones Jr. as well, really respects him. They know he has a deep knowledge in the sport. You heard him there. He's like, you know, those two playing around. And genuinely, I've never seen Chris as emotional as he was on Saturday night. There were a lot of water in his eyes as he walked out. And there's no doubt he was thinking about his brother Sebastian, who passed in June, as you mentioned there. You know, it's a horrible thing to have to happen to a boxer, to anyone anyway. But he sucked it up. And as he said, boxing's kept him on track. And that's why it's such a wonderful sport. And so wonderful that when people can have a focus and and have a focus towards an aim, which is he wants to be world champion for his brother now. And yeah, as I said to him then, we do love him, and you've got to give people love in these moments, and we're going to be on the journey with him.
Yeah, we certainly are. All right, you're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Remember, it's in partnership with DAZN. Your boxing, your way. DAZN game change. Next, we're going to turn our attention to the heavyweight division. How will it take shape following two epic fights?
The uppercut comes in now from Fury. Another right cross. Again, Wilder just takes it. What a chin this man has got. Uppercut from Fury, followed by the left hand, and another right. Down goes Wilder, and the referee has waved the fight over. Tyson Fury is still the WBC heavyweight champion of the world, and we have just witnessed the third fight of what will go down in boxing history as one of the all-time classic trilogies. The Gypsy King still reigns supreme in the Nevada desert.
I mean, Tyson Fury is a modern-day great. He is the best of his generation. He's done everything that's been asked of him. He's done something that no other boxer's done.
All three scores go to the winner by unanimous decision. And new heavyweight champion of the world, the Pride of Ukraine, Oleksandr Usyk.
In a way, he's a guy that takes tough fights. And, you know, sometimes he will get knocked out himself and be hurt and stuff, but he usually wins. He gets a lot of credit for taking tough fights, and I think that's a good thing. Boxing needs good fighters fighting each other.
Yeah, it's been a great few weeks, hasn't it, for the heavyweight boxing scene. Look, the heavyweights run boxing. If the heavyweight division's good, all of boxing is good as far as I'm concerned, and it's been an electric couple of weeks. Tyson Fury in that fight against Deontay Wilder, Oleksandr Usyk upsetting Anthony Joshua. Let's not forget as well, we saw the fight between Efe Jagba and Frank Sanchez. Hellenius looked amazing, I think. No one's speaking about Hellenius and that win over Kalnacki. Tony Yoka in France beat Petra Milas. There's been so much. We got Otto Wolin versus Dillian White. Honestly, incredible couple of weeks when it comes to the heavyweight division. Everyone's now rewriting their top five and top ten in the division. Gareth, it's been a really good couple of weeks, hasn't it, for the heavyweight division. When we look at it now, have your top five must have changed as well, right? Your top 10?
Yeah, in a way. I mean, I think Tyson Fury, got to say at the moment, is head and shoulders above the rest. I mean, I agree with Frank Warren there in his comments that he's a very special fighter and he's a modern day great. There's no doubt about it. He's won all the belts. We know that he's only defended the title once. He's only been in four world title fights, but he's proven that he's got guts, heart, stamina, physique, power. He's been in three times against Deontay Wilder, who's the most dangerous single-punching heavyweight out there. We heard the voice of Otto Wallin there in the package talking about how dangerous Dillian White is. He always brings it. I've just been out in Portugal, by the way, last week for DAZN, doing the off-the-cuff interview, that series that I do for them. The narrow and deep interview with Dillian's life. It's coming out later this week. It's an extraordinary interview, Addy, where Dillian, I've never seen him emotional, but he talked about his mother and father. It's an amazing story of survival, Dillian. He looks fantastic. When his legs look big, as I always say to him, he looks fantastic. He's out there with Simon, his strength and conditioning coach, who looks after him, and Magic, and he's doing really well out in Portugal. I'm really looking forward to that fight at the end of the month. It's creeping up on us now. It's only 11 days away. Really looking forward to it, because the winner of that rightly does have the chance to challenge Tyson Fury. I mean, at the moment, I think if you look at from my list at heavyweight, is Fury head and shoulders above the rest at one. Does Dillian White beat Oleksandr Usyk? Wow, that's a great fight. Really great fight. I would say because Usyk holds the three belts, he's at two right now. I still think Wilder and White are equal, but that's another amazing fight. Anthony Joshua's got a lot of work to do in that rematch with Oleksandr Usyk whenever that's announced. But, you know, you put all those guys in the mix. I'd still love to see Wilder against White, Wilder against Joshua, Wilder against Usyk, Usyk against White, Usyk in the rematch against Joshua, Usyk against Fury. I mean, which is probably the least interesting of those all those fights in terms of, as you just mentioned, there's heavyweight boxing and there's boxing. You know, and heavyweights are about knockouts, they're about big fights, and they're about the tenacity of those guys. I mentioned tenaciousness a lot today, but that's what we saw in that contest in Las Vegas the weekend before last, which was two guys who really wanted to prove something, both down, both getting up, and both really wanting to go out on their shields. And Tyson Fury is such a smart boxer. He's so present. And I still haven't watched that fight back, and I'm going to do it tonight.
Really?
Oh, so I had a chance. Listen, I've been on the road for nearly 3.5 weeks, and yeah. It's been an amazing time, and forgotten what great depths that these people go to inside themselves. But I think of all of those things that stand out, the winner of Wallin, and because even if Wallin beats White, and I think White wins that fight late, I think he'll be too aggressive and too strong in the end for Wallin. But he's a southpaw, he's tricky, he's ambitious, he's a lot better than people thought he was. We saw that against Tyson Fury with that terrible cut and the fact he went the rounds with him. The winner of that for me faces Tyson Fury. It should happen. Maybe that's a homecoming fight as well. But I still think all those big fights are on, and fingers crossed, if Joshua can do a number on Usyk in the second fight and make the adjustments, we've still got massive fights lined up for the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, we certainly do. Final point, you mentioned Joshua there. We know he's in America right now. You know what the internet's like. I think there's a picture of him in Eddie Reynoso's gym. Obviously, that's the gym with Canelo and Frank Sanchez, Ruiz, etc., etc. There has been a lot about, you may maybe talk about Joshua splitting from Rob McCracken. What do you make of it, and what do you think he should do?
Well, I think it probably is time for a change. I mean, it was a very flat performance, as we've discussed before. It wasn't the Anthony Joshua, the destroyer, that we want to see. And I think, you know, the Reynosos really celebrate aggressiveness and patience and aggressiveness. And I think it might work for him. It's not by chance that he's been pictured there. Mm. He's obviously going around talking to people. Maybe it is time for a change. There wasn't enough advice from the corner on the night. Maybe there's too many people keep saying, and they say this about people sometimes, too many voices in the corner. Maybe a new voice is good for him. He can still get advice from people like Rob McCracken, who's a real sage when it comes to boxing. But yeah, I think it's a good move. And by the way, you mentioned French Sanchez there. I was very impressed with him against Zeffie Ajegba. I thought he was very composed. I thought he was very balanced. He kind of exposed Ajegba as being quite one-dimensional and very young in his heavyweight career. Ajegba's always going to be dangerous. He's got massive hands, but Sanchez with that beautiful Cuban movement, I think he's not the biggest heavyweight in the world, Sanchez, but he was really smart in that fight. Two guys with unbeaten records, both really coming up in the division. You know, I'm not sure if they're highly ranked yet in the division. I'm just having a look now as we speak, you know. But, you know, there's so much great stuff to come, and it's brilliant that we're on the move again and the heavies are back in business.
That's it for this week. Thank you so much for downloading our Fight Night Extra. Remember, we're back every single Tuesday for more great content. And if you miss us, make sure you subscribe to Fight Night to catch up on all our other episodes.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.